Well, good morning.
It's nice to see you. Now, we're going to read from Joshua, and it's the chapter 14, the chapter 14 of Joshua. Let me just remind you of what it is we have been thinking about. The last time we were together, we were considering how that as Joshua now was getting old, his life would soon be coming to an end. There was still yet much of the promised land that Israel had not conquered. They had failed to conquer it, failed to enjoy the land flowing with milk and honey. And the reason? Their unbelief, their disobedience, their stiff neck, their stubbornness, and they thus robbed themselves of the many blessings they could have enjoyed from the hand of God. And we were showing you that that's how it is today. In fact, I said that the vast majority of Christians fail to enjoy much that is theirs in Christ. It's as if there was in the bank, in your name, £10 million. Think of that. £10 million. Which you could at any time go and draw out and spend. But instead of doing that, because you doubted that, because you doubted those who told you that money was there and it was yours, you were going around in rags, half starved. Instead of enjoying a nice home, you were living in a cardboard box. You were in poverty. Now, whose fault would that be? Why, it would be yours. Well, I tell you, many Christians are like that. Spiritually, they are impoverished. They're miserable, they're unhappy, and they know very little of the blessings that could be theirs, that they could enjoy, because God has deposited, if I might use these terms, God has deposited in Christ the full riches of his love and his mercy, and we have but to go and claim those blessings. If we're unhappy, it's our own fault. If we're miserable, it's our own fault. If we're defeated, it's our own fault, because there in Christ our every need is supplied. So Israel, after many years, had failed to enjoy all that they could have from the hand of God. Now, we want to read from chapter 14, and it will help us to see that not everybody was like that. There were those who were the exception. And we're going to read of the exception, or one of them, here in this chapter 14. Let's read from verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, Even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. That's an important little phrase to notice. Both to go out and to come in. We can all be strong at the start of something. Maybe the start of a race. Oh, we're full of vigor and off we go bounding. But very soon, the strength begins to ebb away and we begin to slow down. But here's this man, Caleb, kept by God's grace because he was a faithful man. And even at 85 years of age, he was as strong to go out to war and to come in again. His strength didn't fade in the battle. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Now, that last little sentence tells us that the war of conquest had come to an end. The life of Joshua was coming to an end. His leadership was coming to an end. And whatever battles had been fought were now at an end. Of course, they hadn't conquered all the land, but they had gone as far as they could for the time being. We considered how that, and I've already mentioned this, the failure to conquer the land was because of the unbelief, the stubbornness, and the disobedience of the children of Israel. Oh, boys and girls, I want to really drive this home to you. We rob ourselves when we disobey God. Now, when we disobey God, we do so thinking that we're going to gain an advantage for ourselves. We disobey God in order to please ourselves, in order to satisfy ourselves. But if we only knew it, we are hurting ourselves. We are hurting ourselves. We're hurting ourselves. We try to get away from the Lord. We try to abandon His truth. And all we accomplish is a hurting of ourselves. But, as I say, there is always the exception. That's the general rule amongst God's people. But there is the exception, and we have read of that exception. Caleb. And I'm sure there were many more like Caleb, who followed the Lord wholly, who obeyed the Lord, and in consequence they entered into the inheritance that they had been promised. Now, today I want to emphasize that there is a price to be paid for failing to obey the Lord. A price to be paid. Something God makes very plain. When you disobey the Lord, you do so ignoring the warning that God gives to those who would disobey Him. Because there's a price to be paid, and God warns us of that price. Away back in the days of Moses, when Moses was leading the children of Israel to the promised land, Moses spoke of when they would enter the land, and when they would be given the command of God to conquer the whole land and destroy all the inhabitants, he said, if you fail, let me tell you what will happen. And if you turn in your Bible to Numbers chapter 33 in the verse 55, here's what we read. Numbers 33, the verse 55. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Now, I want you to notice the terminology there. God doesn't merely say, now they'll give you trouble. They'll become a problem to you. But he uses the most vivid language to illustrate just how much of a problem those Canaanites that were not judged and put to death would become. He says of them, they shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides. I suppose there is no part of our body that we guard more carefully than our eyes. There likely is no part of our body that is more sensitive than our eyes. There is no part of our body that makes us to tremble at the thought of it being injured than our eyes. The thought of a thorn sticking into our eyes, it makes us just tremble with horror at the prospect. Yet that is the phrase God uses to describe the problem, the trouble, the vexation that the Canaanites, that they didn't judge and didn't put to death, would become. And listen to me, that's what sin does. That's what sin does. If you do not obey the Lord and walk with God, if you indulge in sin, if you allow sin to continue in your life, here's what it will become to you. The devil tells us, you know, that if we disobey the Lord and if we sin, it'll not really do us much harm. We'll quite enjoy it indeed. And we'll be able to control it, and it'll not really become a problem. That's what the devil says. But God says that it will become such a problem that it will be like thorns in your side and thorns stuck in your eye. That's how much a problem it is. Boys and girls, I cannot but emphasize just how dreadful it is, just how dreadful it is to disobey God and follow sin. There is a price to be paid. There is a price to be paid. Not only in this life. Those who refuse Christ as their Savior, those who defy the gospel and walk the ways of sin, they'll suffer the consequences of that in this life, but the life to come, for all eternity, for all eternity, they will have made their bed, as it were, in a thicket of thorns, and their sins will vex them for all eternity. For all eternity. Oh, let this solemn word come home to you today. Now, I quoted Moses' warning, and it's interesting that Joshua, in chapter 23 and the verse 11, repeats that warning. Joshua 23 and the verse 11. He's nearing the end of his life. These are among the last words that he would be speaking to Israel. Take heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Else, if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, that which has been left of the Canaanite tribes, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. That's a solemn warning. It's a repeat of what Moses had said. And throughout the scriptures, let me tell you, boys and girls, you will find servant of God after servant of God after servant of God repeating the same words regarding disobedience to God, failure to obey God. They say the same thing. It will bring terrible consequences. Here, it's failure to deal with the Canaanites, and those that remain alive remain separate from them altogether. If they fail to do that, then Joshua says the consequences are dreadful. And throughout life we have many occasions in which we are required to obey the Lord, and if we fail to obey the Lord, the consequences are great. Today, our circumstances, you might think, are quite different from what they were for the people of God back in the days of Joshua. But really, they're not. We live in a world, we're surrounded by those who are the enemies of God. We're required to remain separate from them, not learn their ways, not walk in their ways and in their company, not take up their habits and their practices, not try to be like them. For if we do, then the consequences spoken of by Moses and spoken of by Joshua that would come upon the Israelites would come upon us. Sin will not bring you comfort and joy and peace. It will bring you thorns in your eyes, scourges in your sides. Oh, I cannot emphasize enough, boys and girls, cannot emphasize enough the dreadful consequences of us failing to obey God and walk with Him. I'll just close it by saying that things would have been far worse for Israel if it had not been for the leadership and the guidance of Joshua. He was a force for good amongst the Israelites. I've already read to you his words of warning. And he exercised that influence, that ministry throughout his life, warning the people of wrong, warning them of error, and pointing them in the right way. You know that the name Joshua is the Hebrew form of that precious name, Jesus. We have a Joshua. A Joshua who is even more wonderful and glorious by far than was the Joshua of the Old Testament. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. And He, by His grace and mercy, exercises upon us a wonderful preserving mercy. He keeps us back from sin. Time and time again we have to say that. If it were not for the Lord, what folly, what harm, what grief, what sorrow I would have brought upon my own head. My Joshua was my preserver. My Savior helped me. David prayed in the Psalm 19 and in the verses 13 and 14, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Keep me back, he says. Don't let me foolishly follow sin. But Lord, keep me back. You ought to pray that every day, young one. You ought to pray every day, Lord, keep me back from the inclinations, the appetites, the desires of my foolish, sinful heart. Keep me from them, and keep me on the path of righteousness. The Lord Jesus keeps us from being ruled over by sin, and what a mercy that is. And I trust the Lord will bless them to your heart. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that the words spoken here this morning may be taken into the hearts of the boys and girls, that God, as it were, might plant them deep within their souls, and they might ever remember that sin leads to sorrow, but the Lord Jesus Christ would lead us into life in all its fullness. Oh, may they trust Thee, Lord, and obey Thee. Bless each one of them, and if there's one not saved, Lord, speak to them. May they sense their danger, and may they seek unto the shepherd for safety and salvation. Bless your word to every heart. Bless the school today. We commit it into thy hands, O God, in all its activities. Watch over the classroom. Watch over the playground. Watch over the journey home again. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.